Hello, welcome to the Transmedia Podcast. I'm Natalie Rios, and today we'll have with us Steve Heather, director of the Recall Institute. Welcome, Steve. Thank you very much for being here.
How you doing?
Good.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Good.
I'm glad. So, Steve, to begin, can you tell us what the Recall Institute is?
Sure. We are a company that specializes in product recall and crisis prevention for food and consumer goods companies. So essentially our services are things like helping companies create plans, actually training people within the companies to manage incidents of product recalls effectively, and then enabling them to practice those skills via simulation exercises.
So when you help companies to test these plans, how do you test these plans with these simulations exercises? Can you tell us about what you do?
Sure. Essentially what we do is, well, first of all, assuming the company has a robust plan in place and their people understand what's in the plan and understand some of the key capabilities that they need. The idea of the simulation is to enable them to practice the implementation of their plan in a safe environment. So we have a bit of a saying, you really don't want to be in the middle of a crisis to figure out that your plan's not effective or your people aren't prepared. So simulation exercises allow companies to go through the process, make sure the plan's going to work, and make sure their people are well prepared before they have to do it for real, if you will. So essentially our simulation exercises, we like to put together a realistic simulation. So, a lot of companies, particularly food companies, do things called mock recalls. And now mock recalls are generally good, but they test the traceability part of a product recall. Excuse me. And they also test the logistics of a recall. Now, those two things are really important, but we found by experience that getting those, they're the sort of elements that most companies actually do reasonably well. Where companies really struggle is managing the relationships with key stakeholders, particularly regulators, customers, consumers, and particularly in the, these days of social media, if you let incidents get away from you, they can very quickly go viral over social media, and next thing you know, you're in the midst of a crisis. So we take kind of the traditional simulation exercise and we build a very realistic scenario specific to the company's products, to allow them to practice those processes in a realistic way. So
that is really interesting because the companies might have a very effective plan and they would know how to apply it, but then they wouldn't be prepared to manage their relationships with people and stakeholders and all of that. So I think that's That's what you're doing. You're putting them in that position. That's really good.
Yeah. That's kind of where a lot of companies sort of really struggle. Is a simple, straightforward product recall. It's straightforward. You identify a problem. If there's clearly a health and safety risk associated with it, you identify the affected product, and then you you then retrieve the product, or you might repair it on site. It depends on the product and the incident, of course. So that process, that technical process, if you will, is fairly straightforward. Where we see companies get in trouble is when they escalate and when they sort of get beyond just the quality manager talking to the quality manager or the operations manager talking to the operations manager. Now we're involving customers and regulators and as I said, social media, you've got the traditional media perhaps ringing, asking for comment. Mm-hmm. So everything starts escalating quickly. So, and that's kind of, most simulation exercises don't exercise that dynamic, if you will, between the company and the external stakeholders. In fact, most simulations don't even exercise the dynamics within the company. So your quality manager is not talking to your marketing manager, and your marketing manager is not talking to your operations manager, and so on and so on. So again, you know, integrated plans that involve all these key internal external stakeholders is a really important part of making sure incidents and recalls don't escalate. So
exactly, and the communication, it's a key. What is your process of designing and delivering these realistic scenarios and simulations?
The I think the important thing is firstly to understand the company's processes, and also obviously the products that they have and the industries that they operate within, the regulatory environment they operate within, and a little bit of information about their brands and how well those, how well known those brands are. They're all sort of important factors in designing an exercise that's really going to be specific to the company. So our first port of call is to really understand the business. We then set up a series of objectives. What are we trying to achieve by the simulation exercise? So we'll craft inputs for the exercise around those objectives. So if we want to test those initial responses to social media, we'll therefore have some objectives around that, in terms of expectations. And then the input obviously will be some kind of social media comment, simulated, of course, and the company will be expected to respond to that effectively. So, yeah, so the process is understand the business, understand the products, understand the processes, and then design an exercise that will take them from identifying that an incident has occurred right through to developing a response strategy and their communications. So they'll need to identify who those key stakeholders are, the best way to communicate with them, and ultimately their key messages and the content of the message.
Excellent. And what would you say are the biggest challenges when you design the scenarios?
I've found where most companies struggle the most is the what I refer to as the middle bit. So the key areas of assessment, strategy, and communications in terms of developing those key messages. So as I said, if it's a black and white health and safety problem, then the company has a reasonably easy decision to make. If it's not so black and white, and frankly, these things really are, it makes it much more difficult. So you then have to introduce a series of other factors besides health and safety risk. So we have tools around how to understand reputation risk, for example, so that the company, and we have tools that sort of get companies to think through how their key stakeholders are going to react when they find out about the incident, and therefore how to anticipate these problems and be prepared for them. Now, you know, in an incident, you're not going to make everybody happy, but what you can do is try to anticipate what those primary concerns and expectations are and do what you can to make sure that you're managing them effectively. So the critical parts for me is the assessment, and then there is a strategy, developing a response strategy, and then when that's done, then you move into communications. Too many companies move too fast into communications without having thought through their strategy. And often what happens is what I call corporate PR bump. In other words, a load of fluffy statements that don't really mean anything, don't have any meat behind them, don't have any, you know, substance. And that substance comes from the assessment and the strategy. So you know, getting that assessment strategy right is really critical for key messages. The other thing I see companies really struggle with is management of the team dynamics, and being able to lead the team through the process. You know, often when we see companies respond to incidents, one of the interesting dynamics is what we call the deer in the headlight. You know, sort of everyone looking at each other saying, ooh, what just happened and what do we do now? Yeah. So having a structured process that, you know, the company is trained in and can move quickly through becomes really important. You know, focusing on the key issues and what's really important for the business. So, and ultimately, the way the company manages the incident, prepares themselves, provides them with a platform to return the business. In fact, even, you know, have a positive impact on the brand and the business. So developing the business and actually, you know, incidents and product recalls managed well will actually can actually have a positive impact on a brand.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned teams, when you prepare these exercises, how do you organize teams? Is it normally with one team? Is it several teams that work together? Do you have different roles? I mean, how's the team team organized?
Yeah. Well, it depends. Again, it depends on the company. In an ideal situation, certainly clients that we've worked with for a while, the team starts as one team. That's the incident management team. And as they progress through the incident, the role of the incident management team is to conduct the assessment and develop the strategy and create those key messages. When it comes to implementing the response, what becomes really important is for the company to create what we refer to as work streams. So, you know, there'll be, for any type of major incident, there'll be multiple work streams. So coordinating that activity, making sure each of those kind of sub-teams have a leader, a set of objectives, and, you know, know when to report back to the main team becomes, you know, really important. Make sure that actions are coordinated, communications are consistent.
Yeah. Do you create conflict between team members in any way, like trying to generate conflict to simulate a crisis or anything?
In my experience, they do it by themselves.
Of course.
You know, when you think about it, and in fact, this is kind of one of the major problems in a crisis is we call it the you know, the CEO's dilemma. You've got a situation where, you know, quality and technical managers have a perspective and a point of view. Your marketing people, they're focused on how do we protect the brand. Your finance people, you know, how much is this going to cost? The legal people say, you know, let's not say anything at all until we have established everything, you know, beyond doubt, and you know, is there really a legal requirement? The poor old CEO is kind of left in a quandary, got all these different viewpoints and perspectives, and ultimately they're all, you know, all those perspectives are perfectly valid, but at the end of the day, the CEO then is left in a bit of a dilemma as to which direction to go in. So what we like to see is the company coming together and focusing on what the key issues are, and then essentially making sure all that, all the discussion that's going on, all the decisions are made, are focused on resolving those key issues. And ultimately, as I said, the key issues are around consumer safety and ultimately restoring the business and the brand. So getting those things right and keeping everyone focused on those key issues becomes really important. And it's a really critical role. We like to identify what we refer to as an incident coordinator. You can call it an incident officer, incident facilitator, whoever you want to call it. But that's a person within the group who is very familiar with the process, has been trained in the process, and understands the team dynamics and can lead the team through the process of incident management right through to responding effectively. So that incident coordinator becomes a really critical part of the team. A lot of companies kind of revert to the CEO as the leader of the team. And, you know, and a lot of people say, you know, is that a good thing or a not so good thing? And my answer is it kind of depends. You know, if the CEO is the sort of person that is happy to let the conversation, you know, the conversation take part and let the process work its way through, then, you know, that's fine. But you know, we've seen plenty of CEOs who, you know, come in and they kind of take the general mentality, right, you do this, you do that, and let's get on with it, which often leads to, you know, people doing and saying things that they later regret. You know, I often use the example of Tony Hayward, who was then the CEO of BP Global when the Gulf of Mexico crisis occurred, the Deepwater Horizon crisis. One of the first things Tony Hayward said was, I want my life back. You know, he happened to have been on holidays when the crisis occurred, which was a pretty unfortunate thing to say. Now, Tony Hayward's not stupid. You don't get to be in a position like that, you know, being dumb. Tony Hayward was not prepared. He didn't have the right team behind him, making sure that he was well briefed on what he should be saying. So getting prepared becomes, as I said, becomes really, really critical. So
yeah, it's essential. How long are these exercises? Now that you mentioned, like, what's the duration in general?
It can depend. Depends on the incident and the scenario that you want to use. I mean, if you're going to be totally realistic, you know, often incidents play out over days, and yeah. But most companies don't have days, so we compress time into a fairly hectic 3-hour period is what we most commonly do, and we find that about 3 hours is enough to practice the process, learn some lessons, and then following that exercise, we'll do a debrief and talk about what went well and the things that perhaps need some improvement. So around that kind of, you know, we find a half day exercise is generally going to be enough. And these things can be quite intense.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of companies have said, you know, I actually felt like I was in a real incident. Well, you know, that's kind of what we're trying to achieve. So, you know, that they can be quite intense. So you don't really want to drag them out for too long.
Yeah, too much stress can be exhausting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned, like, you have an after action review and you provide feedback, do you give any feedback in any way to participants while they are running the simulation, or is it always afterward?
I can do. I've done it in multiple different ways. Some companies, particularly if you know it's the first time that I've been working with them and they're not very confident with their plan, rather than kind of letting things, you know, sort of turn to custard, you know, we can kind of step in reasonably early and say, okay, well, let's kind of replay here and take a look at some different ways to address that particular problem. So we can certainly sort of provide feedback along the way. But a lot of companies will just say, look, let us have a shot at it, run at it as best we can, and then we provide some, you know, fairly detailed feedback at the end. So, again, it depends on the company and their experience. So.
But I was wondering if you had, like, maybe if they did something wrong, then you had social media react in a more critical way or something like that, like in world or in the simulation, but just reacting differently. That's really
good. And as you can imagine, we, you know, the external stakeholders will react depending on how the company responds. So you've got to have that degree of flexibility in the exercise where, you know, if you know, someone says or does the wrong thing, then, you know, that can create a response. And, you know, that's obviously a critical learning.
How do you add realism to your exercises? What are your methods?
Realism comes from, a number of factors. Number one, I kind of like to recruit someone inside the company to give me a lot of inside details. So we actually start dealing with, actual products instead of, you know, pretend. So the company is kind of forced to go through their actual processes to identify, you know, the product, who might have supplied them, where it's gone to, and so on. So there's a deal of realism around that. I also like to do a bit of research and find out what the issues of the day are for the company or the product line or the industry, and we introduce those into some of the inputs. So you might have, for example, a consumer leaving a post on a company's Facebook page that refers to a previous incident. Well, you know, that actually might be a real incident that they're referring to, but obviously in a simulated environment, so it's not real and it's secure, so no one else is seeing that, nor the company's response to it. So we want to make it as realistic as we possibly can, without sort of losing losing that idea of, you know, this is a learning exercise. So you can, you know, you don't want to get bogged down in to too much detail. And, you know, we also make the point early on in the exercise that, you know, the objective here is to exercise the process. It's not to critique the simulation. So in other words, you know, we'll get facts wrong. Just, you know, we ask people to move on. And because, as I said, that's, you know, the point. We can sit and pick a scenario apart, but you know, that's not the objective of the exercise. The other thing is that, you know, we've been doing this for 25 odd years, including real incidents and real recalls, and actually helping companies keep out of real crises. So virtually all of my exercises are based on real incidents. We've seen a lot in the period of time that we've been operating, so we inject a lot of realism. And, you know, I've had people say, well, that could never have happened, and I'll turn around and say, well, actually it did. there's been plenty of things happen that you know, you may or may not believe, but, you know, we try to keep it within the realm of possible. You know, we don't want to get too way out there.
Yeah, you know the phrase that reality is stranger than fiction. So I can imagine.
Particularly in the case of incidents and crises. So,
What technologies or methods have you used for these exercises?
Well, I've actually used the a couple of exercises. I've been working with Conductor Team XP to create exercises on this platform, which provides, you know, the opportunity to get a little more realistic with, particularly with things like social media, so Facebook and Twitter and so on. So that's that technology teamed with, you know, video conferencing, so that we can introduce video, we can introduce audio as well as simulated social media posts, I think has really helped us sort of introduce an element of realism. In fact, very recently I worked with a client and used the Conductor Team XP software on that particular exercise, and they commented that, you know, they found the constant social media pings distracting, and I said, well, welcome to the real world.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of the intention. You know, that's if you get sort of you get bogged down in watching every tweet and every Facebook post, you know, you can quickly get distracted. So one of the lessons out of that is to make sure the team stays focused. And indeed, you do need someone to be monitoring what's happening over social media, but you can't let it distract the team from moving forward. So
yeah, and focus on the important, right? Because social media is filled with information, so you have to kind of exercise and scan through it all.
Correct.
Decide what's important and critical.
Yeah, you can certainly can't ignore it, because ignore social media, you're almost certain to have a crisis. So, you know, making sure that you, you know, you respond in a positive and structured way becomes really important.
Yeah. Do you have a way of measuring the effectiveness of the training or the exercise in the company?
We tend to be fairly subjective. We talk about lessons learned and what we in terms of improvements, but also the positives. You know, what things went well, the focus is on where are the opportunities for improvement and what processes may need to be adjusted, what additional training may be required. So in terms of the effectiveness, it is a bit subjective. We could start measuring things like time taken to respond to certain inputs and so on, but at the end of the day, it's always going to be subjective evaluation in the main.
Completely. And what has been the reaction of the companies after doing these exercises? I wonder if they've done it before. So what do they say?
Well, the overwhelming response that we get is, that they found it really valuable. We've done this a few times with companies that kind of thought that they had a really robust plan, and we get them into a simulation exercise, and they kind of quickly find that they've got some gaps that they may not have addressed. So that becomes a really good learning exercise. We find companies that kind of feel, that they've got everything set and well planned tend to be the ones that have never done it before. So as I said before, you don't know that your plan is going to work or your people are prepared until you get into a real crisis, or the next best thing is to have a realistic simulation exercise. So because
Completely.
It provides a safe environment to test to make sure you get those things in order. So
and to fail as well. If you're going to fail, then fail in the simulation.
That's right. You're better off, you're better off failing in the safe environment of a simulation than the harsh school of reality. So
totally. So to close the podcast, are there any pro tips that you'd like to share with the audience about designing this kind of scenarios and simulations?
I think first of all, I would say designing the exercise to make sure you have input from a broad variety of stakeholders. That would be the first tip. So don't make this just an internal exercise to test your traceability, for example. You've really got to, sort of exercise some of those key stakeholders. So having someone role play regulators, customers, suppliers, consumers, that becomes really important. So make sure you take quite a broad broad perspective in terms of inputs. That's a key one. And the other tip is to, make sure that the team understands the process before you go into it. Because then that sort of helps set up for success. So, as I said before, we always recommend a review of the plan and just make sure that you've got all the key areas covered before you start. Having said that, I have had plenty of companies say, we think we've got a plan, but the only way to test it is a simulation. So let's get into it, straight into the simulation and find out what we're missing. So you can use it as a means of, identifying areas within your plan that you're missing. So.
Yeah, of course. That's excellent. Steve, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. It was a great conversation. And,
no problem.
You provided really good insights. So thank you very much.
No, thanks for inviting me.
Can you share with us how people can find you online? And
Probably the easiest is just to go to our website, which is www.recallinstitute.com. And from there, feel free to contact us through the website, and we'll be happy to answer any questions that people have. So, yeah.
Perfect. I'll share it as well in the podcast publication.
Great. So,